Welcome to another Carlin Loads Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Sean, I'm very interested in your opinion about injuries in sport. I mean, it seems to be quite prevalent in many sports nowadays.
Well, injury is the risk, isn't it? If you're working at a high level and you're trying to push your body to new limits, then, of course, there's a chance that you're going to injure yourself. Now, that can be in a sport. Like, you know, if you think track and field, you're not in contact with other people, but a lot of soft tissue injuries. But, you know, if we start looking at our team sports where there's a lot more body contact, well, there's always going to be a chance of getting hurt.
A lot of impact, a lot of concussions. But I tell you, one injury which has been around footy for a long time and perhaps netball is ACL joints.
Well, it just seems to be on the increase, doesn't it? Like, we've had a lot of younger athletes involved at like school sport or people I'm aware of who've done ACLs, and particularly young girls. I think we've had five different girls in the last 2 years do their ACLs. When you start looking at other information, there is a lot more ACL injuries in younger athletes. And some of the information is interesting because they're really suggesting that because kids now are specialising earlier, and yes, they're heavily involved in an activity and they're fit young people, but they're not getting that broader cross-section of different sports where you've got different demands on the body. And so they tend to be using the same muscle groups in the same movement patterns, and so they develop strengths. But on the flip side, they develop weaknesses, and all of a sudden when they're put in a situation that their body's not used to, they get hurt. And of course, knees are only designed as a hinge joint. And so if your stop-start turning and you put that, say, on load because you get contact or tackled, then they're finding that these young guys and girls are doing ACLs.
I remember as a younger person, most of my peers, we played footy, we played summer sport, baseball, cricket, we played a bit of basketball, a bit of squash, a bit of tennis. We gave everything a bit of a go, athletics. And I think it made us better rounded athletes to absorb injuries and recover from injuries easier because of the fact that the body was used to those knocks and those impacts.
It's interesting that I think of some, like the idea of being resilient, not emotionally but physically, or being robust. And so some people just are put together better, and you see that in sports. Some people just get injured where other people, they work their butts off, but they just don't get hurt. But you're right, I think now, if people are going to stay in that one sport, and there's a lot of pressure on young athletes, like they get in development squads, they get into those, you know, you're on this elite pathway, and so they really don't want to leave that sport because they don't want to lose that opportunity. But as you said, like, I think what they're finding now is the kids who do a variety of activities, so they're doing longer stuff, shorter stuff, change of direction, stop, start, you know, jumping, all those things, they're developing their joints more effectively, they're developing more of their muscular system and better coordination. So,
well, it's interesting, when the AFL women's football first started up, they were aiming to get athletes from other sports, from basketball and other sports. So there was recognition for the fact that other sports do mature the body to play a game like Aussie Rules footy.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it? AFL have realised that, and they do. I mean, even in the men's now, they've got that position where they can take in another high-level athlete from another sport. And basketball, unfortunately, being the sport that I'm involved in now, from at least admin point of view, seems to bear the brunt of losing good players, including women, now into football. But yes, and so, but as you said, like maybe 10, 15 years ago, kids were playing their summer and their winter sport. And maybe playing a combination of sports in summer and winter. But now, you know, most sports pretty much run all year round.
So you're talking about how your sport, currently basketball, how it's targeted by Aussie Rules. Didn't Aussie Rules target hammer throwers in your day?
Well, I loved playing footy, and I don't want to brag, but I thought, see, the interesting thing, I never saw myself as a great footy player when I was younger, but I guess being pretty big guy and pretty mobile, athletic guy, people saw potential in what I could possibly do. But now that I look back, I think maybe I should have stuck with footy. I could have done all right, maybe. Who knows? You don't know. But no, they didn't.
The older we get, the bigger dreamers we get.
I think the older we get, what's the word? The older we get, the faster we were, the better we were. But
there's no question. I mean, there's not too many.
You know what I mean? You don't want to ruin. And the further older we get, the less that people are around to know that we're telling lies or not, or just making stuff up.
Well, you know, just as a quick snapshot, like some of the injuries. I mean, you know, football. Obviously, there's a lot of knees. Baseball, you get the shoulder injuries because of the throwing. Basketball, the ankles because of the twisting and turning. Athletics, you know, the soft tissue, the hammies. Cricket, sometimes the fingers because they haven't got gloves and they're trying to catch the ball. Obviously, there's a myriad of surfing type injuries, especially if there's any sharks around.
But look out for sharks.
Absolutely.
They will cause a lot of soft tissue damage.
Absolutely. And boxing, the, you know, concussion. Soccer, well, mainly fainting, isn't it, with soccer?
And don't be mean. Soccer players get a lot of soft tissue. And I know it's renowned. And I don't want to be too mean to soccer players, but remember the World Cup? Was it Neymar who was doing the rolling?
Yep.
And I love watching some of the motorsport, as we've talked, but MotoGP. And Marquez came off his bike in practice going pretty flat out.
200 k's an hour.
So there he goes. And he runs back to the pits and jumps on his spare bike and continues qualifying. And you're like, wow, like those guys are tough guys. Those
he wouldn't qualify for a game of soccer.
Well, he did roll a little bit, but he quickly got on his feet and kept moving. And so it's just interesting, is it, when you compare different sports like that?
Well, obviously we're taking the mickey out of soccer, but
and we shouldn't because it's the world sport.
It is, and they do have legitimate injuries. There's no doubt about it because of the higher the level, the more they put into it, and the faster they're going, the more prone they are to get the injuries.
And that's the thing, isn't it? Like there's been a lot of talk in AFL about the change in the athlete. Like from the data they're collecting, they tend to be bigger, so they've got more muscle mass. They're obviously generating more force. You know, they're traveling much faster. So all those aspects, all of a sudden, are putting the body under different or greater pressures than maybe athletes in the past. And then if you've got bigger athletes colliding, or you know, and you see those ones that are just horrific, aren't they? When they've gone for a mark or they've been tackled and you see like their legs got caught and don't they love showing that on TV? They just show it over and over again.
Yeah, they love showing it, but we hate watching it. It's unbelievable.
But you keep watching.
Yeah.
Like you go, and every time you cover up, but you think, stop doing that. Like it's better there. But I think, so if athletes are getting bigger, faster, stronger, but maybe therefore more forces applied to the body, maybe they're not as like don't have the same coordination or maybe the same mobility or flexibility, and all of a sudden again you put the body in positions it's not meant to be, and you're going to do joint injuries and soft tissue injuries.
You know, a lot of the greatest stories you hear about are people that have recovered from a myriad of injuries, or in the case of some car accidents or other issues, and they come back and they win. So it shows.
Anna Mears.
Unbelievable.
The story. Like, is she an amazing athlete or what?
Oh, just absolutely. And you know that guy that won the gold medal Winter Olympics, our first gold medal, he came when everyone fell over and he... Steve Bradbury. The thing is, I was reading something the other day where he was saying it wasn't that 30 seconds that he won the gold medal. He accepted it because of the 10 years of pain and injuries that he went through. So there's that side of it that we don't always see.
You don't. And that's the thing we see on TV, don't we? We see either glory or sometimes we see failure. And, of course, that's our take on that person. But I think that's an interesting point because that, like, and again, people have sometimes a bit critical of Bradbury, and we use it as a bit of a vernacular, like, you know, you did a Bradbury. But he's at that level. He's worked hard to get there. He's in the final. He's not there by mistake. And then he did what he was doing his best job on the day. And then, so he's an elite guy in that level of sport, and of course he deserves it, but we don't see the hard work, do we?
Or the injuries.
That's for an athlete, and you sometimes see them, you know, interviews now, and you just see the emotional pain they're going through, because they just can't do what they want to do.
Well, you talk about Anna Mears, and that's what brought it to my attention, because the thing is, Bradbury actually broke his neck.
Wow.
And he came back to win that gold medal. I changed my whole perspective of how I look at that gold medal now. I respect that he was a true winner, not a lucky winner.
Well, luck it plays a part in sport, and he was in the right place at the right time, but he worked his butt off, and I didn't know that, but to come back from, like, Anna Mears, a broken neck, you know, that is a lot of, you know, I think when that happens and then people have to deal with that and then just go, nah, I'm going to get back to where I want to be, that's tough.
And you look at someone like Andrew Lloyd, who we've had on this show, and he won the 5,000 Commonwealth gold medal back in 1990 in New Zealand. And he had a car accident where his first wife died in the car accident. And he had a whole myriad of problems where he was told he could never run again, and he wins a gold medal.
And again, that's just, those stories are so inspiring because it shows us that we're capable of more. And it's good to remind ourselves when things aren't going well, that to learn from others and say, look, yeah, it might not happen straight away, but with time and effort and belief and courage, of course, that those people show, you can get back to a normal life sometimes. And these guys are an extraordinary life.
Yeah, it's just, injuries are something we don't always think about. We hear about them. I mean, you look at, in baseball in America, they have a disabled list, and the reason they have that is because of the myriad of injuries they have. Here in football in Australia, you always see the injury lists. So it's a common occurrence in sports, but it's probably not what we think about quite a bit.
No, but when things go wrong, like even the Crows last year had a bit of pressure on them because they were getting a lot of soft tissue injuries. And so all of a sudden, the whole club is under scrutiny, especially now the fitness conditioning coaches, because, of course, their job is to physically prepare the athlete and while the other coaches are preparing them to play the game. But, they had a lot of media pressure on them because of their injury rate last year. And, of course, that spends a lot of time and effort by clubs now to make sure they can reduce that rate and have players fit and ready to be picked.
I remember going back to the mid-1990s and Sean Wren for the Allied Crows, he had a couple of horrific knee injuries. One of them when he stepped on the plate at the bounce, and he was written off, but he came back and he basically was a key component of the back-to-back premierships the Crows won.
He was just a fabulous footballer, wasn't he?
Yeah.
A big, athletic, mobile, all those things that you want in a big guy. But, yeah, I remember that taking off to do that ruck contest and doing his knee. But, again, they do it. I mean, looking at, like, 12 months plus of just hard work to get yourself back to a position where you can actually get back into training, let alone playing.
Well, they say, when you have setbacks, it makes you a little bit harder and it makes you a little bit more determined. So I suppose, like in life, you get things where you get knockbacks and you get sort of negatives, but it makes the positives so much more enjoyable. And I think with sports, it's the same deal. You see a lot of the people that have reached the pinnacle, they have had setbacks. They have had injuries, but they've managed to overcome those to become the cream of the crop.
Yeah, it is. And I think you're right. And that's where we can use sport as an avenue to help other people, understanding that things aren't smooth sailing. If you want to achieve something worthwhile, you know you're going to have knockbacks, you're going to have setbacks. And unfortunately, injury, no one wants to see people get injured. No one wants to be injured. But if you're playing sport and you're trying to get better, that's the risk you're going to take.
Now, Sean, what would you suggest is the worst injury you've had to overcome to achieve what you have in your athletics?
Touch wood. I was pretty lucky. The worst, mostly chronic injuries, like when you're doing a rotational event and doing a fair bit of strength training, like my lower back was always an area of concern, but it was something that you had to manage and get right. And so that was probably the worst thing that I had, but that kept me out of certain types of training for times. And so I was pretty lucky that I didn't really have any major injuries or setbacks in that sense that put me out for a long period of time. How about yourself?
I think early in my football career, I had a shoulder. I dislocated my shoulder and it kept going out, which affected my baseball. I was playing Division I baseball, and I think it curbed my ability to be a consistent Division I player, because as an outfielder, you need a bit of an arm. So that was one of my letdowns. The other one was another football injury sort of late in my career. I fell awkwardly and I did my knee, which continued to give me trouble right through until I now have two replaced knees. So football, probably was a major sport that created injuries for me. But having said that, I played for years and years and years without missing games for injury. I used to play through them. I used to strap my shoulder and go out there. I used to strap my fingers together when I broke fingers. I remember once I broke my nose and I played the next week. So I don't think I had any really bad injuries that stopped me playing sport.
Well, you're a lucky man. And your nose looks pretty good too, Rob, by the way. You know, so obviously that straightened it up well.
Yeah, it wasn't too bad. It was probably crooked before I got it broken. Anyway, look, a very interesting subject. Thank you very much, Sean. We'll have to sort of end this latest edition of the Cut and Lay Sports Show on this note. Thank you.
Thank you.